Yeah, so we've moved it over onto the other iLink. So
I mean,
because she's running at the
moment. My view on this was that the need for people to back up their data personally was made sufficiently clear to lab users. I mean, I guess
she did admit it.
Right. Okay. As long as she admits it, then that's fine. I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes when there's a process error like that, you think, oh, then there's something we should change, like make the sign in bigger red letters. But our case, I don't think there's anything more we can do, really.
No.
So. Well, I doubt anybody will do that again because that'll get around.
Yes, shock and worry.
Yeah, we've got the mailing list set up now, isn't there?
Yeah, so there's a mailing list.
Should know about it now.
Yeah, there was a mailing list before. They've just revived that, right?
Frank went through it, deleted the people that have gone or whatever and replaced them. So the list is now updated.
Yeah, so everyone on that list has now been reminded. Yeah, don't store anything sensitive on. Yeah, don't store anything you care about on the machine. So,
yes. Right, and we don't know. So there's every chance of this falling over again if it's a hardware thing, right?
Yeah,
but there's not much we can do about that apart from.
Yeah, I mean, I did do hard drive check and a memory check, and it says there's no problems, but something caused it to go wrong in the first place.
Yeah.
We don't know. We'll just fingers crossed and hope. It is just a software thing that we can just fix like that, and that'll be it.
Yeah. So how long does this put you back for? Is it, you know, how much disruption does this cause? Is this a day, two days?
Yeah, we're doing a bit last week by the time everything.
Yeah.
And then it'll be hopefully no more than, I don't know, what, 20 minutes today to.
Yeah. I mean, we'll try and get done today. Yeah. Get Windows back on there. Try and get Camtasia on there and get that tested out. And then that'll be, I think that's everything we need before you can start running the experiments, isn't it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I saw a bunch of stuff about software updates. That's unrelated to this problem, right?
You mean from
the iLink? I didn't read them. I saw like 5 messages go back and forth. Maybe they were under the wrong subject header. So anyway,
we have nothing over the last week. Joe has produced another version of the model builder.
Oh no, I mean the iLink software.
That was a few weeks ago, but yeah.
So it's unrelated. It's not that.
Yeah, right. It's unrelated.
Okay, good.
And was running because Frank did all that because he then had an experiment, so he's run an experiment and it's all worked.
Yep. So did he get his data in, or is this put his schedule back?
He's done his and got
he's
his.
He's done
and
it. Okay.
Yes, and he backs up.
Right. Well, unfortunate, but it sounds like you guys are well placed for dealing with it. So better you than me.
Well placed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did manage to get things working on Monday, so everything went down on Tuesday morning. So I managed to get everything working on the on Monday to show that the JCT was actually working, collaborating between the two machines.
Yeah.
I didn't have the eye tracker stuff working because it was just me running around the lab. So I'll have to, once it's reinstalled, have to actually do a proper.
So you need to borrow somebody's head and mouth and stuff to run it, right?
Yeah. But it looks like it was doing all the calibration and drift correction things that Ellen was wanting on it. So.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything to add to the software for that part.
Mm-hmm. So I've got a new trainee who might need amusement at some point. So if you need to borrow a head that talks that doesn't necessarily need to do much else, I'll ask her if she'd mind coming down and helping you out for a while. But I guess Ellen was going to be your spearhead. Yeah, your spearhead.
Right. Yes, but she's not around, so.
Mine is, well, she's actually climbing Ben Nevis today, I think. But she'll be back tomorrow. Her name's Ninka. Did you guys meet her?
Don't think so.
Ninka.
That seems a certain thing.
Doesn't sound familiar.
Might find amusing to look at. So, I'll see if she'd be willing to.
Well, I did meet someone from another project of yours on Wednesday evening. It was.
Oh, who was that?
Heidi.
Oh yeah, Heidi.
Gesture.
Oh yeah, she's good.
Yeah.
You guys might actually have something in common because she does, well, you know, stuff with video coding and gesture.
Yep.
And autism.
And autism, yeah.
So, okay. Right, what am I writing? Okay, thinking to volunteer.
She's been volunteered.
Well, no, I will actually give her the option, but it sounds like the kind of thing where you know, it's quite useful when you're at that stage to see the different kinds of technologies people use.
Yeah, so try and get Camtasia up and running so I can try it out when we've got her coming in. And we'll just sort of do a run through a proper pilot just to
Make sure it starts and finishes when it's meant to and that sort of thing as well.
Yep. Yeah, we'll make sure they can actually pick up the audio signal as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be the audio signal should be coming out of the speakers once it's set up properly. So that should make that slightly easier.
Yes, the bleep was a hardware bleep originally, and so it comes from the PC, which is outside the soundproof box.
Oops. Well, you found that then.
Yeah. But yeah, so but fortunately the speakers on the monitors inside the room, so as long as what I've done, I've just got it set up so the whatever the asterisk sound is in Windows is what gets played. So you can just change the sound to whatever you like, just through the Windows control panel.
Okay, so we want one you can pick up using MATLAB or something, right?
Yeah. So I had that running over the weekend. Last week I tried it with a 1 kHz sound, and it could detect it, but it wasn't very clear. Did it with 10 kHz, and it's just really clear. You can tell exactly where the beep is.
Perfect.
Now. So yeah, so it's just a matter of you basically just play a 10 kHz sound over the speech, and then just compare the two signals basically. So I've got a little script for doing it. So
perfect. So you're going to bank the script someplace?
Yeah.
Tell us how to run it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, no problem.
Because we won't know. Right. Well, that all sounds good.
What else? Well, you have altered the task program because to put the little eye icon and the mouse.
Yep. Yeah, the one in just installed should have that now. We'll double check my install on the eye tracking machines, but yeah, it should be updated with that now.
Rather than just a blob, Ellen wanted something look more like an eye, so that you knew that was the eye.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we've got like a big circle with a white circle in the middle for an eye, and we've got like a rectangle with two like rectangle buttons on it for a mouse.
Uh huh. Okay.
So
very nice, very pretty. It doesn't get in the way of seeing what's underneath.
No, they're the same size as the original blobs, basically. Mm. So I think the mouse is slightly bigger, but it's not, you know, it's not hugely bigger. So
I can see why that's useful.
Yeah, and if it gets a very problem in the pilot, I can easily reduce the size of whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not too hard.
Want it a reasonable size so that if they're looking at it, we know they're looking at it though. So it has to be a reasonable target for the tracking purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although if you had a big thing and it was jiggling around like anybody's business, like real eye track traces, then you might find that a little bit disconcerting. I mean, small things you kind of expect to jiggle around, right?
Mm-hmm. I suppose a larger, more oscillation appears. But it's not. I mean, it isn't that big. So
it looks like it's quivering. You know. Yeah, but well, that's all fine. What else? You were saying Joe with a model builder.
Yes, he's produced another version that doesn't have the overlap problem.
The
collision, so polygons now don't overlap.
Oh, that's good.
Marlowe's discovered something strange about the orientation of parallelograms from when it was constructed to when it appears in the actual task. But I think that might be something to do with the original configuration and the parts that weren't the same across the two. So I'll check that out to see if it really is a problem or not.
Oh, okay.
Basically, the parallelogram was appearing in a sort of as a mirror image of what it was like in the model builder.
Really?
Yeah. Just totally flipped in a mirror image, not rotated. So it wasn't anything to do with rotation.
Just the parallelogram.
Yeah, just the parallelogram. So not entirely sure. It must be some way of how the vertices were described or defined in one way compared to something else.
Right. Okay. So your job in this is to ensure that it actually is a bug and then pass it to Joe?
Joe, yep.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, this geometry stuff is really tricky if you don't do the fold the boxes stuff in your head well. So I can imagine.
Well,
because I could get it backwards easily, you know. And so it is it's just as helpful for you to check this.
The other thing we've done is looked at, not for this current experiment, but for future when we've got to build bizarre parts like aircraft wings and things, something like Xfig can output the vertex points for creating the actual polygons in the first place. Because the model builder assumes that there's an existing set of original parts.
Yeah, so you need
parts
to draw them in something.
So you need to draw them in the first place.
So yeah, I suggested you do that in Xfig. Is that a reasonable thing to do or no?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So you can do them in Xfig, export them as SVG, and you just get a comma, you just get a list of XY coordinates. And then I've just written a little script that turns those XY coordinates into a part.
Yeah, so this falls down completely if Nijmegen can't run Xfig. So you better check that with him, right?
Well, the thing is, it's SVG, so so long as I've got something that will output SVG.
Okay, but they may need help finding the something if they can't do Xfig, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, so I'll have a look at that. But there must be plenty of Windows things for that output SVG.
Microsoft, though? I mean, well.
I know Adobe and things have packages that do it, but obviously they're like a few hundred pounds.
They're paid, yeah.
But I'd be very surprised if there wasn't a free package for doing it. I have a feeling that the was it Amaya, the W3C browser, does it. I have a feeling that that can actually edit SVG files.
So I wouldn't do any work to try and find out what'll output SVG. Just ask them. Look, you know, say you need something that does SVG, and then if they come back and say, "Huh," then you may need to poodle around a bit looking for something. But you know, let them say they've got a problem before you spend time trying to figure out what'll do it.
It's not an immediate problem anyway, but I thought it was worth, before Joe disappears, just checking that the model builder is not restricted to just doing the tangrams or something. So no, it does look like it's...
Well, I can imagine there being shapes that you could construct in SVG format that would fox the model builder in some way. I don't know. I mean, because you don't have specs about what sorts of shapes are allowed, right?
No, but as long as they're solid polygons, it should be all right.
Right. It doesn't matter whether they're convex or concave in funny ways.
Well, hopefully that's not what the parallelogram problem is, because it does have some of the angles and things.
I create a convex part just in Xfig.
It just happened
to be a convex part that was what I was playing with. So it hadn't looked fine. It didn't have any self intersections, so that might be a problem. So I'll have to check that. But
would we want, by self intersection, you mean?
Yeah, by a part that crosses over itself.
You mean like?
Yeah, but that's why we'll only be working, as I say, with sort of solid, obvious polygons and as parts, because they'll have to have a central point anyway for rotation.
Well,
and
but
and
by self intersection here, I'll draw here if I can find the right end of the pen. Do you mean something like that?
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah. So
and you can rule out something like that, right? Because that's two parts for you.
I would consider that two parts. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some rainy day, you might want to think about. Well, I don't know. I mean, later on we can fix it if it turns out those parts. It's not urgent now. I think this isn't important enough.
Yeah. So for now, we'll just assume they're non-intersecting. At the moment, the SVG stuff can output ones which aren't closed polygons. But once they actually turn up in the parts list, it creates a closed polygon just by linking the endpoint to the start point. So as long as they're drawn well enough, it should be all right. Suppose let Nijmegen find an SVG.
Something that does SVG,
and then we'll see if there's any problems.
But if they have trouble, you know, half an hour googling and helping them is probably worthwhile. Because sometimes people, I mean, I wouldn't expect them to have any trouble finding something, because JP's quite up with all these things.
It might be worth just checking what software they are using, because it might create outputs slightly different from Xfig. So.
Well, let's encourage them not to use any software that might have idiosyncratic ideas about what SVG is, she says delicately.
The Microsoft version of SVG or something. Yeah, so.
Ooh, that I wasn't going to say. I have no idea whether they have idiosyncratic SVG output or whether.
I have no idea.
Their track record on some of the other standards has not, there have been slightly strange things about it, so.
Yeah.
But Amaya, you know, I mean, they that should be.
That should be fun. Yeah, I think it does SVG output. So I can easily double check if No Maiden can't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I haven't looked through other mail. I did see something from Marloes. Is there anything they're waiting on from us that is a problem, or are they reasonably happy at the moment?
I think they're not waiting anything from us. They've dumped the pilot studies that they generated based on the task with their English participants or English speaking.
Oh, they've done the pilots.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
But they haven't done anything with it other than
dump the data. Where is
it dumped? They dumped it on the BSCW server, but I haven't moved it. I've copied it onto the
CSV. Well, that's
CSV.
Okay. You know, we're not using that much space if it's just for interim, and they have to get it to us somewhere.
Yeah.
We had a brief discussion just before I left about this idea of exchanging data by FireWire drive, and I don't know if that ever got resolved. But
nothing further is.
You know, that's not fast enough for little things like this. So I think BSCW is the right way to exchange these. We just have to wipe the stuff off and keep separate copies after that.
And I've sent a thing off to Marloes, trying to encourage her again to register for the CSV and
the CVS.
What to CVS and what to do and which bit of software I use. That seems to be quite easy.
Oh, so you're managing that okay, and you haven't run into CVS before?
Nope.
Okay.
But
well,
yes
good.
And no, as in yes, it's new and no.
I haven't got
a problem. Yep.
Well, that's reassuring.
So far. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course he's sitting on the next desk.
Yes. and I am just using it through a Windows bolt on sort of piece of software.
Yeah, but that was easy enough to install though, wasn't it?
Straightforward and then you
copy
just
and paste stuff out the off the wiki. So
right click things and Windows Explorer, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she'll have to use the CVS eventually because we don't really have a good way of doing this otherwise.
I mean, I've double checked and I could access the CVS from home when I was working from home last week on Thursday. I actually managed to get in and just check the stuff and make sure it was all. Mm-hmm. Make sure I could access it. So they shouldn't have any trouble accessing it once they've got the logins.
Well,
so
that's it. We'll never see him here again. Watch, I'll find
like
out
this,
he's got
I'm
a better computer at home as well.
Not yet, I'm afraid.
Right. And what about the project as a whole? Is there anything that Rude or anybody is after that we aren't supplying? Not at the moment.
Nope,
right?
Not at the moment. The only thing that's been going around is the version of the flyer. I don't know what the real purpose of these little folded up A4 flyers.
They're critical to the success of a project. So,
Are they just for distribution at conferences and things, or do they?
Yeah, in general places, but yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it unless they.
Well, I'm not really bothering,
yeah.
But that's what's circulating around the group as a whole at the moment.
Uh huh.
I've sorted out travel, etc., to Munich for.
Oh yeah.
For Ellen, John, and myself, and we're all off on the 14th of December, mm-hmm. coming back on the Friday.
And John's
16th.
Going.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. He'll be useful for the WP7 stuff. So, well, while you do that, I'll be trained in how to hire people. So
that's we. How to hire or how to interview? Is that?
Both.
Both, right.
So, is there anything else? What have you got on for the rest of the week besides getting this stuff up and running again?
Once I tried out the Camtasia stuff, obviously if there's any problems, gotta try and fix them. If there isn't any problems, the next thing I'm working on is the GDF stuff. So I've put on a DTD and a sample XML file on the wiki for the GDF. So but based on some stuff you put on there on the GDF specification.
Right.
So
are you concerned about it that I should be looking at it, or are you happy with it? I mean, I sort of wrote the initial draft of it, I suppose.
Yeah, I changed a couple of things from your original draft. So there's no longer a separate thing for creating new parts, because I've just put a start and end time on each part. So you had a thing called, I think it was mold or something you said, which was sort of to create a new part. It was an action to create a new part. But I gave each part a start time and an end time, so you can see when the parts were created. So I'm not sure if you want to keep the mold or not.
I'll have to look. I can't remember how this works now because that was a while ago.
Yeah, it's just the GDF specification page on the wiki.
So.
I'm trying to put in justification for the change I made on the page. So, but I've sent it out for review, so anyone who is going to be using the format can have a look at it.
Yeah, and you'll get nothing back unless I look at it. Right. So, best for me to do that. I mean, it's really good that you're putting things out for review and saying like why for stuff. But we also don't want to burn too much of your time recording stuff that nobody's ever going to look at necessarily. So, I mean, this might be a good case for it, or it might be that you should just like, you know, talk to me about the stuff if I happen to be around at the time that you're doing it and not. So, if the writing stuff down on the wiki gets to be too high a proportion of things, then you don't necessarily want to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. I think it's great to have the records, and that's really important, especially in big dispersed groups. But this is kind of a smaller group, so you know we can do things more informally where you feel the wikis are getting in the way of things.
Yeah, so well, the ones that's certainly with this stuff, I mean, it's helpful. It was helpful for me to put it up on the wiki because I could actually think about it as I put it up and say, well, this is why I want to do things this way.
Oh yeah, well, so if it aids you in thinking to write it down, then definitely write it down. Because we want clear thinking. I can't actually remember how it worked with the mold. I mean, I wanted to make sure that. No, I can't even remember. So I'll look at it.
Yep, fair enough.
But I'm sure it's fine because it's just my memory of things.
I'll have to get to grips with Camtasia properly.
Yeah.
To generate a little sort of introductory video, I suppose, for instructional purposes at the beginning of the experiment, so people will be able to see. And so that the example movements and things like that will be.
Yeah. So, is that going to have a voiceover, or is it? We had discussions before you started about whether it should be completely silent, so that they could use in case we ever wanted to do this in
Dutch as well.
In Dutch, yeah. And so you could just have. Sort of, well, I think we discussed having it with an English voiceover, having it with no voiceover, and then having it just with cartoon noises or something like boof, when things break.
That must have been before me, so.
I may be imagining.
I know on Camtasia, if you've got a Camtasia project, you can have the video and audio stored separately. In which case.
Oh, so we could produce a Dutch voiceover for the same thing.
So we just send the Dutch team, the video and our audio, and then they can easily create their audio out of.
I think it'd be more sensible just to do the video part of it first, and then you add the voiceover afterwards.
Yeah.
Rather than try and do it all at once.
The other issue is if we do a voiceover, does that affect the language that the people
might use.
So that might be another reason for not doing
anything with the voice. Yeah, we start talking about, have to
alignment
avoid, talking about the parts, and just naming them or anything like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe that was another reason for just having boof.
Yes. Okay. no noise. In fact, I think it's probably
Or ding for you got it, or I don't know.
Probably actually not even the sound effects, because otherwise they'll expect that in the real experiment, and that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So well, if they move a piece and it breaks and they don't hear this crash and they go, oh, what's what's happened? Is that really what happened? Yes.
Yeah. Well, you need some way to make sure that they actually notice the thing you're trying to explain to them if there's no voice.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that Camtasia can do, you can have little videos. I don't know if you've got any cameras for doing that, but you can have videos of people click on the mouses and sort of, or whatever else.
Or you could just point to, have a great big arrow. Mm-hmm. That points at the two pieces that broke.
Yes, I think it can generate.
You can generate call outs and whatever. So, I'm sure there must be a way of putting big errors or whatever.
So you're going to clear her, however you do this with Ellen, right? Because she's the one that has thoughts about the language and stuff.
Yes, but in our discussion, we haven't mentioned it was assumed there'd be a voiceover, but.
Well, remind her that there was a question about whether there ought to be one.
I'll do that. Mm-hmm. Yes, because we've got to think of the instructions and sort of basic introduction to it all as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I did email Nijmegen to ask if they had a set of instructions they'd given their participants.
I bet Miley's just talked to him.
Probably. I suspect so, because I haven't had a reply back.
I think it's really up to us to.
Yeah, to invent it. It was just in case they had.
Is it hard? You don't want to give them the specification, you know, because that's in too highfalutin a language. Mm-hmm. But, it can't be that hard to generate something that says.
No, it should be. I'll be straightforward enough, I think.
Mm. Oh, on my holidays, we encountered a children's toy shop where there were tangrams. And my son reminded me that he hasn't been able to find his tangram set in a while.
Oh, right, you want to get back?
Well, not if you guys are using it.
It's not.
Do you find it helpful to have it?
Yeah, it's. Actually, I could probably just photocopy the manual.
Oh, but it's so tactile, they have the little metal bits. If you're using it, keep it. He's got plenty of toys. If you're not, right. If you're not using it, then I'll take it back.
Right. Hopefully need it for more than another week or two anyway, so as long as you can hold off.
It's not a worry. The lad has plenty of toys.
I was looking at the complexity sort of aspect of the tangrams in that booklet. It's not quite that they just get harder, it's they kind of have pages of similar types.
Oh, similar types, uh-huh.
Yeah, so one page you'll have sort of parts that are kind of similar to each other, and then you move over and it's a different almost type of design or style.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as progressive in complexity as.
Right. So how are you going to get your complexity ratings? Google.
Google.
Is there a big tangram community that ranks these things? Like, you know, that's just one booklet that came with one set of tangrams.
I'll try. You never know what's out
there.
Or
is it obvious, like, when you look at these things?
Well, I'm hoping the Dutch input will allow us to sort of have a rough idea of what was of a suitable complexity for the task.
But that still won't tell you. Well, how many tangrams are there that they're using? 15 or something? No. Not even that.
They've of this relevant type to what we're wanting to use, probably 3. We've to generate 16 in total.
So that's not going to tell you anything about relative complexity. That's just going to tell you where in the span you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You still need some kind of scale for these things.
Yeah, ideally.
If you look at them, do you just know?
No.
No.
Well, I don't. I'm not.
I wouldn't either. What about him?
No.
Mr.
No.
Geometry. I mean, you know. Can you tell just by looking at these how hard do people find them? Or?
I wouldn't know. No.
Right.
No.
Okay. Well,
I'll try the good old Google and see if there's if there are some sort of ranking sites or.
Who in psychology already uses tangrams that's still around? I mean, people have been using tangrams for ages, so there must be somebody with a folk wisdom you can contact.
I'll try and find out. I don't know offhand.
Right.
Certainly.
I only know ancient papers, so like late 80s.
Do people
still use tangrams?
I've not encountered them.
Oh, so we're very old-fashioned.
Or maybe they just don't use anything like that, I suppose.
Well, there was stuff in the 70s and the 80s, right?
So but I'm not sure if anything's happened since then.
Right. Wow. The old tasks are the best. So I'm not going to let that worry me. So, that was, I think, a big diversion. And we were talking about what you were going to do next after all this stuff was up. And I was going to look at the GDF spec. Is the rest of what you're to do with that software fairly clear? Because this is about the analysis.
Yeah, yeah.
You so really only need Robin, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll just be working with Robin what analysis we need to get out of the GDF format. So I'm going to basically, I've got the Jest Analyzer has got the base, the basis for a ASCII to GDF converter. So what I'm going to do is actually create an output, a GDF output part to it. Because the moment only outputs the video, but it does have internal structures which will make it easy to do the XML.
Yeah.
So that's what I've got to look at. And then once I've done that, I can look at the whatever analysis we need to get done out of the GDF.
Yeah, because there were all these issues about how you calculate II lag and you know what other analyses we want out of this that aren't settled. But I think you know Robin is the person who knows the most about what's required there, and I can imagine it's going to take a little while. I can imagine, you know, so that might be the focus of discussions next week or something, right? That
to try and home in parameters and choose the right settings. So
so you might want to try and come, if you get that far, try and come equipped with a list of the kinds of things you want out of it, and so we can look through and see. Alan might have views on what kinds of things once we have a list, right?
Yeah, I'm sure she'll have views on it.
Yeah, so, but it'd be good to, you know, make sure once we have a list of the things that we think we're getting out of it, that it matches her intentions for what we were supposed to get out of it. So, you know, if we do talk about that, then it might be nice to have her along for it.
I haven't found it physically yet, but a reference to a 92 paper, but it's in the Royal Proceedings of something or other somewhere, based on an experiment that had blocks, a model, blocks of parts, and then an area where people had to build, you know, replicate the model out of the parts. Just one person at a time, of course, but it did involve eye movements and monitoring where they're looking compared to their hand movements. And
Who was that then?
Ballard.
Okay.
Back in 92.
Are they still in the business?
Yes, I think so.
Where are they?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, they might have the folk wisdom on the complexity, right?
Yep.
So 92 is not that long ago.
No. So they should still
it is
be
really
well.
Is it a paper you can get?
That's what I'll have to try and find out.
Well, they still do interlibrary loans and stuff, so.
If not, the National Libraries might have it.
So do we think next week that's what we're going to talk about? Because we might want to ask Ellen ahead of time if she wants to come along for a discussion about.
She's not here next week anyway.
Oh, well, that's fine.
It's next Wednesday or Thursday before she's back.
Okay. Oh yeah, her stuff is getting blocked off the mailing list because she's not mailing from her normal account.
Oh, is that what? Yeah, she's got a Yahoo account or something that things are being forwarded to.
And I can't figure out any way to just approve messages from her without her subscribing at that account. So.
If things haven't been getting through well.
There's only one message so far. It didn't say much. Anything else?
I'll get working on the Camtasia stuff this week, and then so once we've got some idea about what analysis you want out of this, I can think about whether GDF's got everything we need in it, what analysis.
Well, certainly, there's the provisional list of what we need on the wiki anyway.
I'll double check the GDF specification against that just to make sure it's got everything you say you say you need from that.
Well, I don't think that list is our final word on things, and.
I added things to it.
Oh, well, maybe it is then.
Well, I don't know when you last looked at it, but when I added it, it was sometime in the last 2 weeks anyway. But
I don't think I was fully paying attention to that. I mean, I'm not going to have views on this anyway. What I'm really worried about is making sure that there's no big surprises for Ellen and JP, you know, when they suddenly discover that they're
that's
assuming
they're
some analysis is in there and we didn't put it in. You know, because now is the time for us to be figuring out what we want out of that data and getting you to write the stuff, or getting JP to write the one-dimensional analyses that he was talking about.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we've got all the data in the ASCII format at the moment, and it's just a matter of what data we need to pull out of that into the GDF so I can actually do the proper analysis. Because I think all the analysis are going to be run off the GDF format, because we've decided that if we're looking at the dynamic regions and whatever else,
it's the dynamic regions that I think might cause a bit of trouble. But
yeah, which is why we have to do it off the GDF as opposed to the EDF format.
Oh, right. Okay. So actually, you're breaking this down into two steps now. One is just straight extraction from the ASCII, and the other one is any post analysis that adds information by analyzing it. Is that?
Yeah. So the GDF, it's got your the stuff from the EDF, such as the ASCII file, and things like the max movements and things like that.
Yeah, it's just anything that's got shoved through the eye tracker.
Yeah. And then on top of that, GDF will also have information such as, right, at this point in time, they were looking at the new parts area, or they were looking at the target.
Okay, that is post-analysis. Yeah.
So the idea is the GDF is going to have that sort of information in it, and then also because it's an XML file, we can then do XSLT or whatever onto it to extract whatever bits of data you need for whichever bits of analysis you're trying to do from it.
Filter, right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Oh well, that all sounds good. So, I've got one thing to check and one person to ask if she'll volunteer to be a head. And as far as I know, that's it for me. So yeah, I have to explain.
I think so.
for one of my other things, there's now a specific wiki page that says stuff Gene has to do. And I'm beginning to think that this is quite a good idea, because I worry about not doing the stuff people expect of me. Much more than the other way around, right?
Well, I think according to the latest documentation, you're down for 5% of your 15 months on this project or something.
What documentation?
Some JAST report.
Oh, okay.
Officially.
Well, it doesn't actually make its way into my salary.
Into reality.
Uh-huh. So. Right. But yeah, I mean, I do spend time talking to you guys. So you're getting something out of me.
Yeah.
Proper seat.